Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive. From Real Ghost Stories Online and The Grave Talks.
Imagine stepping into a silent grove where towering Douglas firs cast long shadows over weathered headstones, and every footstep seems to awaken centuries of untold stories. Lone Fir Cemetery began in 1854 with a single tree overlooking Portland's pioneer burials. But beneath its tranquil canopy lie the remains of Chinese railroad workers, patients from Oregon's first private insane asylum, and even Charity Lamb, the first woman convicted of murder in the territory. As the mist weaves through the rows, witnesses have reported flickers of movement at the edge of their vision. A lady in period dress disappearing through iron gates, or a stiff figure emerging from the fog before freezing in place, like a statuesque warning. Some say it's nothing more than imagination stirred by ancient oaks and Oregon's famed damp air. Others insist the sorrow of unmarked asylum graves still echoes in distant moans, and that the spirit of Emma Merlotin, the French courtesan whose life ended in tragedy, haunts the cemetery paths, lifting her hands in silent plea. Even local tour guides whisper of zombies seen at midnight, their heads tilting unnaturally as if drawn by some irresistible call from the underworld. Whether these phenomena arise from soil chemistry, pareidolia, or something far more unsettling, the line between fact and phantom grows thin in Portland's oldest pioneer burial ground. Let's dig in. The wind threads its way through ancient Douglas firs as you step beneath the iron gates, and already the hush feels heavy, like the cemetery itself is holding its breath. It began in 1854 when Colburn Barrel paid a few dollars for a patch of land adorned by a solitary Douglas fir. He couldn't have guessed that this modest grove would swell into Portland's oldest pioneer resting place, swallowing up neighboring plots one by one. Mothers tended small graves of typhoid victims. Chinese laborers from the Transcontinental Railroad found their final peace here, often without even a headstone to mark their sacrifice. All the while, the fir barrel admired stood watching, its branches a silent sentinel above rows of gravestones. By the late 19th century, the cemetery had morphed into a tangle of family plots and public burials. Portland's first private insane asylum chose its southwest corner as a burial ground for former patients, 132 men and women confined within its walls, now buried in anonymity. No marble markers, no names, just shallow depressions in the earth barely concealed by moss and leaf litter. Gardeners hired to prune the magnolias sometimes pause at this corner, noting the sudden chill that seems unrelated to the November fog. Some claim they've heard faint sobbing drifting through the rhododendrons, though no living soul stands nearby. In 1880, Charity Lamb's trial captivated the frontier town, the first woman convicted of murder in the Oregon Territory. Her crime was shocking, her sentence more so, and when she died, a decade later, she was laid to rest beneath what would eventually become a paved path. For years, visitors unknowingly trampled over her grave, her tombstone hidden beneath cracked asphalt. Rumor says that after the pavement crumbled in a late winter freeze, a tour guide spotted a curious footprint in mud where no shoe could have reached. By morning, the outline was gone, but his boots bore a thin smear of dark earth. That same guide, an amateur historian named Lydia Hawthorne, began hosting walking tours in the 1990s. On clear afternoons, she would lead a tight-knit group past tombstones carved with pioneer names recounting the peaceful lives that had given way to rest beneath the evergreen canopy. But as twilight stretched its fingers between the trees, Lydia noticed something else. Distant footsteps that never matched her group's pace yet echoed just behind them. Twice she paused, convinced someone stood silently at her shoulder, only to find no one there. On both occasions, her flashlight flickered before plunging her into near-pitch darkness for a breathless instant. Even seasoned groundskeepers speak of oddities. During a late summer pruning, one man heard urgent whispers issuing from the ivy-clad walls of an old family crypt. He hovered at the threshold, convinced the voices called his name. With a sudden gale rattling the steel door, he swore he saw shadows flicker across the marble floor, shapes too long and slender to be human. He fled without looking back, and for weeks afterwards, refused to enter the cemetery after dusk. Environmental quirks seemed to amplify these sensations. The dense firs trap fog close to the ground, creating humid corridors where sound distorts and footsteps carry oddly. Researchers have pointed to infrasound, subsonic vibrations produced by wind passing through the graveyard sculptures, as a possible culprit for the uneasy sensations visitors describe. Nausea, chills, a sense of being watched. On misty mornings, when the air hangs heavy, those who linger among the mausoleums report a creeping pressure at the base of their skull, as if unseen eyes are boring through their skulls. Yet some encounters cannot be so neatly explained. In 2003, a doctoral student from Portland State University staked out a clearing near an unmarked section to record audio for a paper on site acoustics. What his microphone captured was anything but academic. Distant sobs that crescendoed into raspy gasps, then a low moan that ended in an abrupt silence. When he played back the track at home, he noticed an unfamiliar voice whisper, "Help me!" just before the tape cut off. He swears it wasn't his imagination, and the Ghost Hunter forum where he posted the clip still debates its authenticity. Not all ghosts conceal themselves behind graves. In 2011, a retired nurse named Marjorie came seeking solace for her own grief. She'd lost her brother to a car crash and found herself drawn to the old sexton's cottage on the cemetery's east side. One night, she felt a brush of cold air glide past her as she sat by the fireplace. Turning, she saw a woman in a faded dress standing beside an armchair. Marjorie calls her the courtesan of Lone Fir, a graceful figure who raises her hands toward the ceiling before dissolving into the flames of the dying embers. The woman's face was pale and haunted, her eyes as empty as the unmarked plots beyond the window. Marjorie fled, leaving her teacup steaming on the hearth. Investigators have combed through death records to identify this apparition. The closest match is a French immigrant, Emma Merlotin, also known by her married name, Anne Tingry Lacoze, who scandalized Portland in the 1870s. Found dead behind the cemetery wall, her body bore evidence of foul play, and her husband vanished without explanation. Emma's funeral mass left no record of where she was laid to rest, and many believe she now haunts the grounds where she took her final breath. Visitors near her supposed burial area sometimes report galloping horse hooves and the scent of lilacs, her favorite flower, on nights when the fog rolls in thick. Yet, skeptics dismiss these tales as folklore fueled by boardwalk tour guides seeking thrills. They point to the cemetery's archives, where no record directly ties Emma's death to the grounds, and note that many headstones bear the names of families long gone, leaving modern visitors to project their own fears onto weathered stone. They cite soil studies showing pockets of naturally occurring gases like carbon dioxide seeping from decaying wooden coffins, which can induce hallucinations in high concentrations. But even skeptics admit that Lone Fir's atmosphere is uncanny. The cemetery's official historian, Dr. Marcus Worthington recounts one afternoon stroll in which every rustle in the underbrush sounded like a hurried footstep and every distant crow's call felt like a warning. He found himself at the base of the lone Douglas fir. The cemetery's namesake and paused to reflect on how a single tree could witness so many stories, so many deaths. As a breeze set its needles dancing, Dr. Worthington felt the weight of those lives pressing down, as if asking not just to be remembered, but to be heard. And so as daylight slips toward dusk, the air thickens with unanswered questions. Are these shadows and whispers mere echoes of grief, or is something more restless stirring beneath the moss? Does the memory of Charity Lamb tremble with a plea for recognition each time rainwater drips along her hidden grave? Can the cries of forgotten asylum patients seep through the earth and ripple into our world? In Lone Fir Cemetery, the line between history and hauntings warps beneath the fog, and you can't help but wonder what will stir when the wind finally stills. Fog clings to your clothes as you retrace the path where Emma Merloden was last seen, and suddenly the air grows colder still, as if someone unseen has slipped beside you. You glance through the dense mist, and there she stands, a woman in a flowing period-style gown, her back turned, shoulders hunched in grief. The hem of her skirt brushes the fallen leaves, and when you call her name, she lifts slender arms skyward as if begging for release. Her pale face remains hidden until she slowly pivots toward you, eyes hollow, wet with unshed tears, before an unseen force flings her backward against a monument. You dash forward, heart pounding, but she has vanished without a sound. In the disturbed earth at the base of a crypt, you spot a single lilac petal, impossibly fresh amid the decayed foliage. Deeper into the cemetery, the fog thickens until visibility shrinks to a few feet. Out of the gray haze, you swear you see movement, figures stepping stiffly between headstones. They pause at your approach, necks tilting at unnatural angles, eyes fixed on some distant point. You hear a muffled shuffle like heavy boots through wet leaves, but when you shine your light, nothing stirs. The cold pressure at your temples intensifies, and for a moment you feel weightless, disconnected from your body. Some call these zombies, though nothing about their posture or grace resembles the walking dead. Instead, they are statues awakened by the fog, recalling lives so long extinguished. Near the southwest boundary, where the unmarked graves of asylum patients lie, the ground is softer, as if breathing beneath your feet. Here, the silence grows oppressive, broken only by a distant weeping that seems to float from below ground. You kneel and press your ear to the damp soil, and you swear you hear racing footsteps, a frantic pounding that circles beneath the earth, then a sudden thud, as if something tried to claw its way out. You cup your hands over your ears to block the sound, but the pressure only magnifies. A distant whisper coils around your skull. We're here. Help us. Panic surges and you recoil, stumbling back toward a row of crypts. By dawn, the tombstone twilight tours have begun. You join a hushed circle of seven, each clutching a lantern as guides recount the cemetery's grim past. The guide, voice low and steady, pauses before the old sexton's cottage and points to a single window. Here, a nurse reported midnight candlelight flickering on nights when no one lived here, she says. As you look up, a pale glow pulses behind the glass, then vanishes, leaving only your own reflection staring back. The group gasps, but the guide merely nods as though this sighting was inevitable. Further on, someone mentions a disembodied growl down the hill and you all freeze, breath visible in the cold air. No animal calls answer, just silence and the distant clang of metal gates in the wind. Back at the heart of the cemetery, where the Douglas fir stands sentinel, small cameras have recorded unexplained lights, drifting orbs that weave between headstones before darting skyward. Some theorize bioluminescent fungi, others swear the orbs trace the paths of the unquiet dead. You crouch beside a motion-activated lens and replay the footage on your phone. A pale sphere rebounds off a granite marker, hovers for a beat, then accelerates into darkness. The film stutters, then cuts to static, until you realize your own lantern reflected on the screen until it, too, flickered out. Scientists and skeptics convene here each summer, trooping through to collect soil and air samples. They search for pockets of methane or carbon dioxide, gases that, in high concentrations, can warp perception and trigger panic. They measure infrasound frequencies beneath mausoleums, theorizing that sub-audible vibrations could create the sensation of an unseen presence. Yet none of this explains the distinct patterns. Footsteps on pavement when no living soul has passed, lilac fragrances drifting from barren branches, or the anguished murmur of voices whispering names that once graced carved headstones. At twilight, you return alone to the courtesan's corner, where Emma Merlotin's spirit is said to manifest. The ground here is unnaturally level, as though tended by unseen hands. You kneel and trace a finger through spongy moss, then look up to find a single horse hoof print pressed into the earth, deep, perfectly formed, though no carriage wheels have crossed this path in over a century. A sudden breeze rustles the fir needles overhead, releasing a sigh that could be mourning or warning. Legends persist that when the cemetery's old stone walls are repaired, restless souls will slip their bonds and follow the work crews home. Maintenance crews sometimes report tools misplaced, gates left ajar, and the clang of shovels in unoccupied corners. A crew foreman once declared he heard the distinct scrape of metal on stone at 3 a.m., pacing just beyond his trailer's window. He swore the sound was too deliberate, too methodical, to be wind or wildlife. You leave Lone Fir Cemetery beneath a bleeding sunset, the silhouettes of its monuments etched against the sky. Your lantern casts fragmented shadows that dance in time with the wind, and you can't shake the sense that something, someone, lingers behind you watching your departure. In your pocket lies a single lilac petal picked from the ground where Emma Merlotin first appeared. When you examine it under the streetlight, its edges are tinged with frost, no matter that the night was warm. As you turn back, the cemetery gates stand silent, yet you hear them whisper your name one last time. Night settles like a shroud over Lone Fir Cemetery, and as your footsteps fade, you're left with the questions that haunt every visitor. Was that sorrowful moan born of restless spirits, or simply the creak of branches weighed down by fog? Weighing the evidence, you find yourself torn between two worlds. On one hand, cold gusts slipping through ancient Douglas firs can carry subsonic vibrations, so-called infrasound, that create dizziness, nausea, and the uncanny feeling of being watched. Carbon dioxide and methane released from decaying wood and soil can induce mild hallucinations, painting the mist with phantom figures. Even confirmation bias plays its part. When you expect to see a ghost, your mind stitches together shadows and echoes into something resembling a spectral silhouette. Yet rational science does little to explain the precise choreography of these encounters. Why does Emma Merlotin's form appear only near her rumored burial corner, reaching skyward as if pleading for justice? Why do zombie figures materialize when the fog is thickest, then vanish when humidity drops? Soil samples reveal no lethal gas concentrations where visitors report chills so intense they see their own breath on a summer night. And why does the delicate scent of lilacs, her signature bloom, linger around a fresh hoof print in earth left undisturbed for decades? Maybe belief itself is the final ingredient. We crave mysteries, thirsty for stories that stretch beyond the ordinary. So we breathe life into every shifting mist and distant whisper. Still, you can't deny the patterns. Footsteps when no one walks, lantern lights flickering in empty windows, voices calling names long gone. These phenomena endure through generations, outlasting tour guides, groundskeepers, and skeptical researchers. They persist because Lone Fir stands not only as a cemetery, but as a repository of human longing, a place where grief, memory, and myth intertwine beneath the trees. So was that tremor in the earth a restless soul clawing for escape, or just your pulse racing in the cold? Does the ghost of a murdered courtesan wander these paths? Or does our collective imagination convene at dusk to conjure her? The truth may lie somewhere in the space between biology and belief, where science and superstition trade secrets beneath the fog. And whether you chalk up your goosebumps to natural gases or genuine hauntings, you'll find Lone Fir Cemetery to be a spellbinding confrontation with the unknown. I'm Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any episodes and so you can join us again for another Paranormal Deep Dive.
Want to dig deeper in the Paranormal Deep Dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new Paranormal Deep Dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.